The Supreme Court has issued several major opinions on pending cases. The wide variety of decisions will affect how the death penalty is applied, the ability of patients to take on their HMOs, and the apportionment of a congressional seat, among other things. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins me now. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
The Supreme Court ruled that it's unconstitutional to execute the mentally retarded. What was the basis of that decision?
Well, 13 years ago, the court tackled this question for the first time and said that it was constitutional to execute the retarded because there was no national consensus suggesting that it wasn't. At that time, there were only two states that banned executing the retarded. Now there are a total of 18 states, and in a lot of other states, a ban has passed at least one house. In Texas, for example, it's passed both houses but was vetoed by the governor. And so Justice Stevens, writing for a 6-3 majority, said that there is a consensus now, all in one direction, that says that it is cruel and unusual punishment to execute the retarded, that the death penalty is reserved for the most culpable offenders, and that somebody who is the age of a 9-12-year-old, mental age of a 9-12-year-old, is not among the most culpable offenders.
Now, what was the case before the court?
The case was a case from Virginia involving a very horrible murder by a guy who was undoubtedly responsible, was convicted. There was evidence at the trial, as the dissenters today pointed out, that he was retarded, but that was not considered mitigating enough for him to get out of the death penalty. And what Justice Stevens said today is that there was a long record of his having been retarded, at least mildly retarded, going back to his school years, that he took objective tests, that there was a long record to show that he was retarded. But the justice also said that it is still up to the states to determine how they are going to judge what the line of demarcation is between those who are retarded and those who are not.
I understand it's generally defined as having an IQ of 70 or lower.
That's generally the case, but of course, if this is the first IQ test that you've ever taken, if there's no school record that indicates you were retarded, for most retarded people, there is a fairly long record of profound failure in school, inability to adjust, inability to do basic tasks of life. And so that is what the legislatures have to work with in trying to decide how they're going to judge whether somebody is retarded or not. And that'll probably be the bone of contention, I suppose, in future cases that are likely to come before the Supreme Court.
Any idea how many are on death row now who might be affected by this decision?
Every time I've asked that question, I have not gotten a really good answer because obviously inherent in somebody being retarded is that you don't stand up and say, "Hi, I'm retarded." In fact, one of the problems is that people who are retarded hide the fact that they're having difficulty adjusting, hide that fact, and it's very difficult for their defense lawyers to glom onto that, so to speak.
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.